Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is for Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. We're just getting ready to get the other co-hosts here. We have a pretty good show tonight. We have round two with Ray Mercer, very big time heavyweight boxer, gold medalist, and just all around a great guest. We had him on months ago, earlier this year. So we're going to connect here with Tony. And by the way, folks, we have a new schedule for next week. Instead of our Thursday show, we're going with a Tuesday, September 11th show. Same time, same channel, but Tuesday night this coming week. Traveling, so Tuesday next week, and it'll be archived after the fact too.
Tornado.
There he is. Okay, so we got.
Yeah, where was I supposed to be?
We are live on the air. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself, like we always do. We're kind of in the middle, but how excited are you to talk to Ray Mercer tonight, Tony?
Always. Ray was a great guest that we had a few months ago. I enjoyed speaking with him. And I'd love to talk to him again. You know, we can, talk about when we spoke a few months ago, it was before the Olympics. And, to get a take on that, being a former gold medalist. And, I'd like to talk to him about this upcoming exhibition with Evander Holyfield that he's going to have in South Africa.
Yeah, I saw word one on that, basically. It was a press release, and I haven't heard anything about it since, so I hope they're promoting it a little better whenever it does happen. That's interesting.
And, Rich, I'm going to have some questions for you tonight, because I wanted to start getting anything planned for my trip to Brockton in a few weeks. So I had emailed the gentleman that you had forwarded me the message from a few weeks ago. I emailed him about a week or so, and I haven't heard back yet. So I was just seeing if you had any other information, because I want to schedule, when I'm going to get up there. I want to
Alright, folks, we're back. We had a little Skype incident again, as usual. Kicked us off. But, anyway. Hey, there he is. Again. So you were asking about Brockton, accommodations.
Yeah.
I really don't know Brockton enough to tell you which is the best place to go to, but I don't know. I know that, any big chain, they're around, if they're not in Brockton, they're in the surrounding areas.
Let me ask you another question, Rich. Do you know if Dennis is involved in this at all, or if he's still...
Yeah, actually, he's selling ads for the program, so he's definitely in.
Okay, I'm going to email him tonight.
He definitely knows better than I do. I get lost when I'm in Brockton.
I'll email him tonight, see... maybe if you can give me some info, and then, because like you said, I also want to know the itinerary. If I'm planning stuff all weekend, obviously I can't come up for the entire weekend, but, I want to see, I want to catch as much as I can. Maybe come up like midday on Saturday, maybe just tour the area a little bit Saturday night, and then go to this event on Sunday. I also want to find out about how long they're estimating that it's going to be. And then shuttle home, I guess, Sunday evening.
Cool, yeah. I should be down from your birthday until the 23rd, so 10 days in Massachusetts. So I'll be down there for the whole festivities, I guess. I don't even know what's going on. I haven't even looked at the website yet, but I guess there's a website for the whole extravaganza, right?
Well, I have similar things that you would send me, but I'll look. No, I'll Google right now, see what I can find out.
But anyway.
Definitely going with Tuesday next week.
What was that?
Are we definitely doing a show on Tuesday next week?
Yeah. I'm not sure if we can get Bobby McGuire, which I've been trying to do, but he said he might do an interview, but it wouldn't be that night. He could do maybe pre-record or something, because they have a show against the Battle of the Badges guys again, and in law enforcement, but it's in New York this time, and that's on, I think, the 14th, so day after your birthday there, Friday, so it would be a good day, and actually, it's called Patriot Day now on the calendar I'm looking at, September 11th. And it's Tuesday. I think it's the first time in a long time. It's on a Tuesday again.
I think it was on a Tuesday about maybe 5 years ago. It was like maybe 5 or 6 years after it happened. And the one thing I'll always remember is obviously because my 25th birthday was 2 days later, and we were having a big party at my house that night, which was not a very party atmosphere. And then the following day, a bunch of people from work were taking me out to happy hour. And all we did was sit there and watch CNN the whole time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, I went down there actually the weekend after Thanksgiving. And there's still dust on the windows all around. There's big chunks out of the sides of buildings and just flyers everywhere. Missing people, you know? It's kind of crazy. Teddy bears. Wouldn't believe, stacked high on all these walls and everything. It's nuts. And then they're still working, doing a lot of work on the rubble at that point. Unbelievable. But, it'll probably be a quick show anyway. Maybe an hour long. We'll shorten it up. Since it's my travel week, it's your birthday week. I'll see if I can get a quick guest from somewhere.
You could be trying to get Buddy McGirt on, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, Buddy McGirt. I put the word out, but I haven't heard back on Buddy McGirt. Hey, Tom's in the background now.
All right, I'm here. Okay, I guess we had little technical issues earlier, huh?
Yeah, it's like almost a given now. My show's got to start 15 minutes late.
Hey, we roll with the punches.
Yeah.
Punches.
I swear, though, this time I had everything all lined up. I knew that I could call in 15 minutes before the show, so I did. And then literally like 5 minutes before the show, something gets filed up on my computer, so I got to reset. I was like, even when I'm ready, you know, willing and able to go, hey, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, last week we had a great show as far as connection and content, I think. And this week we're following it up with another boxer, Ray Mercer. It was a great interview last time, and actually, we're going to have to follow up with him and let him know that I did contact Kimbo's people because he said he wanted a rematch with Kimbo on the boxing side since Kimbo switched over to boxing. And so I sent out an email to the son of Gary Shaw. I forget his first name offhand, but so he emailed me back interview with Kimbo because I mentioned the interview, but didn't say anything about the rematch with Ray Mercer. But I had mentioned it in the first email to him that Ray wants a rematch and in the boxing ring this time. But we'll see.
Tom, let me get your opinion on this. Because obviously when we talked to Ray, it was before he had you on the show with us. And a few years ago, I was getting ready to write a column for Fight News Unlimited called Fantasy Dream Fight. similar to what they did with the Martian, you know, Ali fighter from back in 69. Where we would back two fighters from different eras, and, you know, turn out. And one of the things that I wrote on my, you know, intro to the column was going to be, this person had to have boxed professionally.
You know, reconnecting you now.
Thank you. Okay, we're reconnected. I gotta wait for Tom to call back in now, but whenever he does, I think he might have to repeat a little bit of that last part. So if he could hear you, it was in super slow motion. Can you hear me, Tony?
Yeah, I can hear you. Someone was trying to call me. I was trying to recognize this number. I'm not going to answer it anyway. It's one of my friends. I'm going to punch him in his brain. Cause I tell people, between 8 and 10 on Thursday, people don't call me. We're trying to coordinate everything from, you know, for this upcoming weekend, because we're doing a little birthday extravaganza at the Phillies game. And, yeah, I know the Phillies are playing shitty this year, but... You know what? I have tickets to this game anyway. I go to they have a club inside the stadium, which I go to every game. So, well, shit, they do happy hour specials for a birthday, and they give you free drinks. So I'm going to be there anyway. Why not get some free drinks out of it? I'm also still recovering from the bachelor party this past weekend. I was hanging out with a midget cowboy. A midget cowboy and Jason Durham. And I don't know if you heard, but you hear Donald Trump is going bankrupt?
No. Again?
Yeah, Trump is going bankrupt. I went to the Trump Plaza this weekend and broke him.
You make a lot of money?
Yeah. I think I ended up, what did I end up plus? I think it was something like
$17.
$7? $17. Hey, it's better than losing, right?
Yeah. Well, Tom's back.
All right. Well, yeah, Tom, the one thing I was going to ask you was, I wanted to weigh in your opinion on this. Kimbo Slice, who was a backyard, underground brawler, then he went into the field of MMA, and with some success, now he's trying to get in the field of boxing. And some of those guys that he's been has been fighting, tomato cans would call them tomato cans. Let's be completely honest here. Now, my thing was, I was marketing Kimbo Slice as a boxer. One of the things I would do is I'd get him a few quick, easy knockouts, you know, on guys just dug up out of the grave, and I would get as much money as I possibly could and throw it at Mike Tyson and get him to come out of retirement. And I think Tyson would do it because of the money factor. You know, it would be no more than a 4-round fight. And let's be honest, I don't think it would go any more than maybe 1 or 2 rounds. But I see marketing on this because you have a lot of kids that watch YouTube that know who Kimbo is, a lot of kids that watch MMA that know who Kimbo is, and you have the older generation, and I'm considering myself in that. They grew up, like guys like me and Rich grew up watching Mike Tyson. My dad, you know, was in his 40s during Tyson's prime. So we have a lot of people that are of an older generation that remember the prime Mike Tyson. And then you have the younger generation that knows the hangover version of Mike Tyson. I think you could hit 5 different spans of audiences there. Now, I still think it would be a massacre, and as long as Mike showed up and gave a shit, I think he would massacre Kimbo. When we had Ray on the phone a few months ago, he wanted a rematch with Kimbo in boxing only. And I said, yeah, I would see Ray absolutely killing Kimbo. If I was a trainer and I had a guy fighting Kimbo, I'd have him throwing jabs, hard jabs and circling. Let the guy come in straight forward, hit him with a quick 1-2, and then circle. And I think, you know, it would be a recipe for success. What do you think of, you know, Kimbo taking on any quality fighter in a boxing environment?
Oh, I think he'd be in over his head if we're talking just pure boxing. And I think that strategy
yep.
would – I think that any top 20 guy just using just good old-fashioned 1-2, a little bit of movement, I think Kimbo would be very frustrated. I think he's got a good chin, and I think he'd have a puncher's chance, but you know how that goes. I mean, when you say puncher's
yep.
chance, that means that someone's a huge underdog. And I think you're absolutely right. Now, as far as the Tyson situation, I think that if he's playing checkers, I'm going to watch. But the problem is trying to get him in there, because you remember right after after his last fight with, was it Kevin McBride, was it? What was that? Back in 2005, and you remember people, you know, they were trying to throw more offers at him, and he said, I just can't do this anymore. Then there was all this talk about him coming over to MMA, which, of course, he'd have sold out any arena he was in, and you can imagine what the pay-per-view buys would have been, but he just mentally seemed like he was finished, and I think that would be the whole problem. Now, again, I don't know about his financial situation. I know he owed the IRS a ton, and I don't know how that's going, but I just can't see it happening at this point. I just don't think he would come back. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see it.
I think that would actually be phenomenal numbers just for those reasons I stated. You know, you'd have five groups of people that would say, you know what, I have an interest in this fight. You even have people that are not even fight fans that know the name of Mike Tyson. And you have
right.
a lot of, you know, casualties that know the name Kimbo Slice. Now, well, like I said, when I started this column a few years ago, one of the first things I said was, don't ask me about guys like Kimbo Slice or anybody like that have not stepped in a boxing ring. And then literally the day Kimbo announced he was having a boxing match, Rich sent me that very article and said, well, now can I ask you about it? And we got on the show that night, and I said, okay, let's start the Kimbo and Tyson debate. Let's go. But I was saying, like, if I was managing Kimbo Slice, if I was, like, you know, his people, I was kind of saying, you know what, shit, let me make a lot of money as fast as I could, because as soon as you put him in there with somebody that can moderately box a little bit, I think they're just going to, you know, beat the shit out of him. Let's be completely honest here. I think
boxer,
you know, especially one with a decent amateur background and one that's well-trained. And
sure.
when Ray was saying, I want that rematch in a boxing ring, I said, well, Ray Mercer. I was like, Ray Mercer was a fighter who was very physical and strong, had a good chin, had a great chin, actually, punched very hard, and had a good jab. And that was
very
that
good
was
jab.
The call making that.
Was merciless.
A jab.
Yeah, exactly, because I think his jab was not only quick, but it was he could just cook with it. I mean, he could hurt you with it. It was, you know.
It was a jab.
Yeah.
It was a jab reminiscent of Sonny Liston. It was very punishing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to the Tyson thing, too, that it seems like a lot of Tyson's fights were he just transcended boxing. Like you said, people that weren't normally fight fans would tune in for the spectacle. I mean, his fights were not just fights. They were spectacles quite often. And people
yeah.
loved that. Yes, I mean, I think it would be great. I'd love it, but it's going to be hard to see it. I mean, I just don't think we will.
Yeah, Tyson's taking his lounge act on the road, so I think he's going to be more likely to show up on Broadway than in a boxing ring.
Yeah.
But he's been talking lately about both boxing and MMA. He actually made the news recently because he was talking about 50 Cent getting into the boxing business and, you know, warning him about scumbags and that sort of thing. Before that.
Mike wouldn't back out, wouldn't he?
Yeah, before that, he warned all these MMA guys about when it really becomes big time and they start throwing around millions. And so he got into the whole fighter pay debate there, and that was kind of interesting. So, you know, I think he would actually be kind of a good commentator for the right program about the fight game. But as far as him coming back to fight, I don't know if he wants to do it mentally, or even if he really needs the money, because he's got so many other people willing to pay him just to be around or whatever, sign autographs. I was at an autograph session out in Vegas for him, and the line was out the freaking door all day.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's how he makes a lot of his money, is a guy, one of the guys that runs the autograph thing told me so. And he lives out there in Vegas. So that's kind of a problem.
Tell Tom what
place
he said
to
me when you asked
about
being on the show.
Yeah, I asked him, I put it out there, I tried to give him a card, and you know, it was so funny the way he said it, and the way he responded. He's like, I don't know, man. It happened. Get out of here, I gotta go sign another autograph. He was definitely cool, and when I said, too, the other thing about him not wanting to fight anymore, I said to him when I gave him the glove to sign, it's got Muhammad Ali's signature already printed on the glove. And I told him the reason why I got this glove was because when they were on the Arsenio Hall show, Muhammad Ali said to Tyson that he would beat him. And so Tyson said to me after I said that, he goes, I can't beat anybody. That'll happen. You know, he's definitely not in that mindset anymore. And there was another thing, too. There is another piece of evidence to tell you that they had a husband-wife swap thing, some kind of... The people with the same name. It was a TV show on Channel 7 where they swapped families. Mike Tyson had somebody else named Mike Tyson who was white in a suburban area. And he went out and stood in for Tyson, the white guy. While Tyson went out with his family and stood in for them. And there was a moment in that thing where Tyson was at his house, and there was all his belts in front of him, and he was like throwing them around, like they were worthless to him. So he's in a whole different world now, as far as, you know, looking back on the fighting. And, you know, I guess it's also probably, you know, what time you catch him, as far as whether he likes to talk about it all that much either. But now
here's a question though. If he would come back, do you think he could pull a George Foreman and change his style around a bit, or do you think he'd still be have that same style of just, you know, coming forward, taking your head off, or would he be a little more patient this time? I mean, it's just. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just for the fun of it, what do you guys think?
Well, if he got on testosterone replacement therapy tomorrow, no. I think he would definitely, if he was dedicated and you know, had the physique of Evander Holyfield and never stopped, he would definitely be almost stupid not to keep trying in this day and age where, you know, even without CRT, there's other ways, you know, that it's, you know, advancements of science where, you know, you can take the right supplements and do the right workouts, and you know, if you really took it seriously, he could definitely come back. But he lost the will to fight, I think, is what more important than anything to him. He just didn't have it. You know, he didn't have the energy and the drive. Just totally lost that. And then he just became the type of guy that just you know, he's out there. He's always, the other thing too is, you know, he's always partying. We know he's got a cocaine habit from the past. We don't know if he's still sober or not, but, you know, he definitely has that habit. So he's not going to want to get tested right now. But if he was in prime shape and came back, he could still, you know, draw some decent wins, but,
Well, let's see. He's turning 46 this month, right?
Right.
See if I remember. Yeah, he was born July 66. Yeah, so he'll turn 46, or maybe is what am I thinking? She's 45. He's already 46. Jeez. So he's so he's 46. Well, that's the new 35, huh? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was for real either, but on that show where they switched. And hopefully Tom will be back soon. We got a couple dropped calls. Looked like somebody else was on the show with us too, right before we disconnected. I just noticed that.
Oh, no shit.
Disconnected. So I don't know. I hope that wasn't for me. We're scheduled to have him on at 9:15. So just plugged his number in. See if it works this time. But anyway, I did have a couple other nuggets for news. This week, welterweight Dong Hyun Kim, otherwise known as the Stun Gun, and he's speaking up for Asian fighters this week. And I had a lot to say about what's going on with the UFC. It's ultimately, basically, this is his quote from the story. It's ultimately very hard to be a UFC fighter. If you go to America, there are a lot of fighters who are barely eking by financially. I see some fighters who have fights a few days away doing personal training. A lot of that has to do with the UFC being too stingy about sponsorships. Also because of UFC's policies, it is really hard to get sponsors for a lot of fighters. So that's interesting. You usually don't hear these guys come out in public and say these things. It's tough to get away with that and not face some kind of repercussions, I think, because not enough people do speak out and say something about that kind of thing. But it is pretty daunting for a lot of these sponsors to come in and say, yeah, I want to put my name on this fighter, and then to have to come back to the UFC and not only pay the fighter, but pay them, a huge gateway fee just to get in there. And then there are some actually really loyal sponsors that the UFC all of a sudden just decided to ban for whatever reason. And I actually had one of them, or at least one or two of them, had to do with, there was a direct competition there with Zion's, their energy drink, the Fertitta Zone. And that's a whole other story at ZionSucks.com, but basically, this whole sponsorship gateway and their policy on sponsors is obviously favoring them financially over the fighters. So it kind of puts them in a bad spot. But Kim says, if you pay off the training camp and your coaches, you honestly don't have much left. Ultimately, you only have one, maybe two opportunities to make it big. In MMA, anyone can lose, and when you do lose, you go instantly to the back of the line. Look at Rick's story. Also, he says about Asian fighters, and no matter how fair the UFC is, the Asian fighters, especially Korean fighters, are automatically at a disadvantage. Even right before my fight with Demian Maya, my airplane ticket cost after getting discounts was $1,100, not to add in me paying for my teammates and coaches to accompany me. And on top of that, it is ludicrously expensive to get ready and to train and get a training camp in the U.S. before your fights. So he says he's also speaking out of complaint for myself. Not out of complaint for myself, because compared to my peers, I am doing fine financially. But for other Asian fighters, it is completely unfair, because I am older than my peers, and because this is the path my fellow Korean fighters are going to take, I am going to say what has to be said. I really took to heart what Bibiano Fernandez said about why he decided to not join the UFC. So that's the fighter himself speaking out. And this was in a Korean website called Daum, D-A-U-M, in early July. I don't know why they took so long to get it out there as a news-based translated, but now it's out. And then there was also some extra comments that go a little bit further from his manager, or actually also Chan Sung Young's manager, Brian Ree. And Ree is both manager and translator for a lot of these South Korean guys in the USC. He says, actually on a couple message boards, he was out chatting it up, but he says, the UFC does pay for airfare and hotel for the fighter plus one. However, for fighters from Korea, we have to come in at least 10 days early, 2 weeks is better, in order to get used to the time difference. The UFC tickets, flights, and books the hotel for 4 or 5 days before the fight. So the fighters from Korea and other foreign countries have to pay the difference in fares and in the extra days for room and board. If you assume that a fighter is going to bring at least their coach and a sparring partner, that means the fighter is paying for 2 extra plane tickets, which is usually between $1,200 and $2,000 from Seoul. Add in 5 or 6 days of room and board for 4 to 5 guys, and it starts to add up. Then take out the U.S. federal and state taxes. Then the guys get taxed again in Korea. Subtract paying the fees to the coach and the sparring partner, and what's the fighter left with? Unless they get a bonus, not much. Unless they get a bonus or two, or are making a really good base pay, not much. If you really think about the fact that the Korean Zombie there before the Poirier fight was making $6,000 as base pay, then you'll realize that for a lot of our fights in the U.S., we end up losing money. But the fighters do it hoping to build up bigger paydays and more sponsor money.
I'm surprised they only pay for one other ticket. And that's really surprising. I mean, your team, most of the time you need at least 2 or 3 people in there with you. I mean, that's just really surprising.
Right, and we had actually, we already had a Canadian fighter on the show not too long ago mentioned that, you know, they didn't even pay for his hotel room up there. So these guys definitely have a lot of expenses that don't get paid for. And he also kind of joked with us that, free healthcare is great and everything, but, where do you get that in Canada?
Yeah.
Doesn't do any good for me for them to have a healthcare policy, but that was kind of funny. Anyway, yeah, that's just, it seems like a tidal wave of bad news hitting the UFC lately, and it kind of makes me think about the ranks of their divisions, too. Seems like they're running out of people to match the champions with. You've got now the big talk is back up and churning about a GSP versus Anderson Silva fight. GSP is barely back from being able to, back in action, being able to compete now and go full strength. Just got clearance. So, to have them chomping at the bit to set this fight up now, it just makes you wonder, where are they going to get the people to take on these guys down the line? If you don't have anybody now, where is this going to come from?
I'm wondering if these small purses are encouraging guys to push on even when they're injured, and maybe that accounts for some of the rash of injuries.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is an open-ended question. I don't.
There's a couple other stories that tie into this, too, because you have Chael Sonnen all of a sudden just decided, I'm going to go up to 205. And 2 weeks later, because of injuries, he's all of a sudden in the front running for a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be unheard of in a sport like boxing. A guy just automatically goes up in weight and he's got a title shot. I mean, it happens every now and then to a really good fighter, but... you have to have at least one fight at that weight class before you get a title shot.
What would be really unusual about it would be in the field of boxing is a fighter coming off a loss. I've seen times a guy like Roy Jones has moved up to heavyweight, had one fight at heavyweight, was for a piece of the heavyweight championship. Now, if he was doing that after his second fight with Antonio Tarver when he got knocked out, and then was moving up to heavyweight thing, you know what, I had trouble making the weight and everything, it would be hard to just step right into a title fight if there was a devastating knockout like that. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen times where guys have moved up right into title fights. Floyd Mayweather's done the times. Manny Pacquiao's done it several times. Maurice Jones has done it several times. But coming off loss, not so much.
Right. And here's another guy just actually moved down in weight and gets a title shot. Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar are already going to fight. You know, and Frankie barely just mentioned that, yeah, I might move down.
But look at the reason for that, though. We're getting back to this injury thing. Now, if I remember right, Eric Hotch had the original shot there with Aldo and got injured, right?
Yeah, and Cox was 13-1.
Yeah, so we're right back on that open-ended question again. Is this pathetic pay scale causing so many of these injuries?
Right.
I think it's
a combination of things. You have obviously an evolving sport, and because of these bonuses, I think I wrote an article about this, I think at least a year ago, about how the bonus system can be dangerous if you look at it in a certain way, because it encourages guys to put on shows, not just fights, not just a strategic, you know, smart fight. They have to not only just win, but they have to win with a show. So they get their bonus money, and they please the fans, and they get talked up in a title, you know, conversation. So what that does is it makes these guys more intent on striking, more intent on knocking guys out, more intent on submitting guys, and that takes a toll on the health of the whole group of fighters that are in that system, because they're in there putting everything out there, taking risks, taking punishment, and trying to be as dynamic as possible with the damage that they do to the other guy. So you have a situation there where it's bound to catch up with you, and I think it's really catching up with these guys now. And some people, that's why the TRT thing is getting such a big wave of attention, because some people are turning to that and other substances and maybe using that to compensate for it. And that's a whole other health issue, probably doing a lot of damage to these guys and making their career shorter. So, you know, with all the competition out there that is so scattered, the UFC is still picking people up, but they're not picking up people that are just going to be able to, you know, have one or two fights and then go for a title. You know, usually these guys get their first fight, and it's like a big culture shock, like Hector Lombard, you know. He comes in biggest and baddest guy around that they've signed in recent history, and he loses.
Yeah.
You know, first crack at the apple, and he can't take a bite. But, yeah, I think it's a combination of things, but that's definitely one of them. You know, it's definitely a case of them running out of opportunities for some of these guys to really advance. Some guys, it's weird, you know, they'll just, because of their name or because of how long they've been around, they'll just always be in the UFC. But other guys, they'll lose, and the UFC will just say, see it. So that's the other part of it, too. It's not only a bonus system that motivates these guys to fight like hell, but it's also getting fired. You know, if they don't fight like that, they have to worry about it. So there's more intent to, you know, encourage these guys to really hurt each other, unfortunately. Even though that's not what they want to do. They don't go out publicly and say, yeah, whoever, you know, really messes the guy, other guy up and really hurts him bad and breaks a leg or something, yeah, that guy's going to get the bonus tonight. But essentially, that's what it is for a lot of these situations. You encourage a guy to go out there with another few $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to get a knockout, guy's going to go for a knockout every time.
Well, if you're getting $6,000 to show up and $6,000 to win, and if the only way you can get a big payday is fight of the night, submission of the night, or KO of the night, sure, that's going to happen. So maybe if the base salary would be raised, that may
right.
That may have a lot
that
to do with it.
That solves the problem.
Yeah, exactly, because right now, I mean, you know, the UFC was complaining about the money that they lost on the cancellation of the event, but maybe maybe long term there's going to be more of that unless they would stop this minimum wage stuff. Because like you were saying, especially with the Asian fighters, by the time they're done, they may as well, would you like fries with that? You know, when you think about it. And all the hours, and you guys know, I mean, all the training, I mean, it's just how many years are put into this. Well, we'll just have to see how it plays out, but it's a tough situation now, that's for sure.
Right. Well, there's another guy. There is some influx of new talent into MMA. But it's not always young and promising. Might be promising this time, but probably heard, I know I probably mentioned it on past shows, Dave Bautista is going to be making his MMA debut at the ripe age of 43 years old on October 6th. And it's going to be at the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence, Rhode Island. And it's against Rashid Evans, not Rashad. Not to be confused with Rashad. interestingly enough, the guy I've met and seen at a lot of the local events in Massachusetts when I lived there, John Howard, will also be on the card. And speaking of guys getting fired from the UFC, he didn't even really have bad fights and they threw him out. Very competitive every time he fought. And he just had a couple tough losses and they threw him out. But anyway, David Loizzo is a guy that's been pretty much everywhere in MMA circles, and John Howard and he are going to fight. So that was actually more tempting to me than seeing Dave Bautista try his hand at the sport. But Loizzo hasn't competed since winning the Touchy Palace Fights middleweight title back in February 2011, and he's had an elbow injury. But actually, they're not fighting each other, it looks like. This story says Loizzo's fighting Chris McNally. It doesn't say who John Howard is fighting. No opponent at this present time. Anyway, we do have to get Ray Mercer on the line here. And there he is. So hopefully we get a smooth setup here for this. Everybody here, everybody?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Any minute now. My slow computer will kick in. While we're waiting for that, it was a pretty decent fight over the weekend. Daniel Gill and Felix Sturm. Home perfect. We'll talk about it. Done with Ray.
Alright, please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and we'll return your call.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Sounds like great.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time.
Here we go again.
No, wait a second. And that might have been his old number in the system, that's why. I put his new number in as Merciless Ray Mercer. That was Ray Mercer. Maybe that's why. All right, let's try this again. Anyway, Gill won by split decision over the weekend.
I didn't get to see the boxing match because I was away. Again, on HBO, but that junior middleweight, I'm having a hard time pronouncing his name, like Gannady, like Gold Bullet signs or something. Destroyed that Polish fighter. I watched highlights of it on YouTube, and my dad, he even called me to tell me that he's a goddamn. Even Max Kellerman said, wow, how he just destroyed him. And his trainers are even saying, like, they got, he's a junior middleweight, they got to put him in with, like, cruiserweight and sparring if he's just tearing guys apart. And I actually was looking at some of his record, and he knocked out guy with the name of LaJuan Simon from Philadelphia, who I'm familiar with, who had, you know, gone the distance in a couple of title fights with Arthur Abraham and players of that caliber, Sebastian Sylvester. They're both good punters. This guy, Gobolev, or whatever his name is, took him out in one round. He also has a knockout victory of a former world champion, Kasim Uma. So this guy's got the real deal, man.
Of course, we get the big fight this weekend, too, Dawson versus Ward, right? Isn't that this weekend?
Yeah, that is this weekend. I'm still going with Ward. I know our boy Iceman is training Dawson, but I just think Ward, I don't see it being an exciting fight. I don't think the styles are going to mesh very well, to be totally honest. You know, they're both very tactical fighters, and that's how I see the fight working out. You know, conventional fighter versus a southpaw. I think it's going to be a lot of tactical boxing in there. Each guy's going to try to get the angle on the other guy. Each guy's going to try to, you know, force the other guy into traps. You got two very well-schooled boxers. I just think that Ward is a little bit more disciplined. Dawson sometimes gets a little lackluster in there, and I think this Ward discipline and his boxing knowledge will carry the day in a very close decision.
We shall see. I'm just in the mood to be the devil's advocate, so I'm going to say Dawson, just to say it.
Okay.
And I've always liked this jab, as we know.
I got to go with Tony on this one.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Nobody's going with me. That's okay. I'll go out on a limb. Hopefully I won't fall off. that's an interesting note, though. I mean, you know, Dawson and Ward have very different styles. I think Ward is a smarter fighter, but Dawson might have a little bit more power and technique.
I think Dawson is definitely a better puncher. I will give you that. Ward is not known for his power. It really is. Then again, it's you know, Dawson had some good wins in his career. He had the wins over Jimmy Carver. He had the decision to put out Hopkins, and then he pretty much dominated Hopkins in a rematch. But it was a very uneventful fight. I remember following the updates on online when I was on my way back from the game, and everybody saying, another boring round, another boring round. He had the loss to Jean Pascal. He was coming back in that fight, and then they had to clash of heads, causing a stoppage. Ward's never been defeated, and he's fought some really good guys. I mean, he basically whitewashed guys like Paul Foch. He whitewashed guys like Michel Tesla. So that's obviously, I mean, he's been able to adapt, and I think that's going to be his biggest advantage, his ability to adapt out there.
All right. Well, we typed in a new number here. Any second, we'll be adding Merck. Merciless Ray Mercer is in my phone. It's Merck.
Thank you.
Hi, you've reached us another home right now. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message.
Uh-oh.
And turn your call as soon as possible. Thank you so much, and have a good
day. Hello, Ray. We're looking for Ray Mercer. We're supposed to have him on the show tonight. This is Rich from Fight News Unlimited. We'll try back in a few minutes. Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah. It's the same guy that gave us the wrong number for Michael Moore, so I don't know if it's his fault, but...
Oh, well.
That one didn't have a full mailbox, so maybe it was a different number. It sounded like the same lady, though, on the message.
Yeah. Yeah. That did not sound like Ray, so...
No.
Yeah.
Could be his health, though. You never know.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll give him another try in about 10 minutes. I got another little story here. I know you guys are going to be all broken up about this. You know, I know you're huge celebrity boxing fans like I am, and you're probably going to miss no more Octomom in the boxing ring for celebrity boxing anymore. She's been banned.
Oh, no.
Stop your crying. She allegedly broke an opponent's hand in a pillow fight in Philadelphia, Tony. How did you miss this? And then failed to show up for another fight in Florida. So now she's going to have to continue with her other sidelight jobs of porn and stripping to put food on the table for her 14 kids.
You know what the pathetically funny thing is? I have a friend of mine who emailed me on Facebook like a few months ago. And, you know, she started talking, and she said, I want to come train to boxing. And I said, absolutely, I said, I got some time. I'll train anybody, guys, girls, kids, adults, I don't care. And she's around my age. You know, hey, what are you doing in a few weeks? You want to give the celebrity boxing thing to see Octomom fight? I'm like, fuck no. I mean, I had plans that night. I don't remember what they were. I don't remember if I was at a Phillies game that night or if I was out of town doing God knows what. But to see Octomom? Fuck no. That was my response, too. And then, and I kind of told her, I said, listen, I said, these celebrity things, the only one that I was remotely, possibly going to be involved in a few years ago was when and I think Octomom, I think on that show, fought a girl who was, like a local Philadelphia DJ, who I know her co-host very well.
DJ, let's...
Yeah, her name's Shyla. She's on the Chino in the Morning.
That's the one that got her hand broken.
Oh, no shit.
In the pillow fight.
Oh, no shit. Well,
with no explanation or apology.
I've never met Shyla. I've never spoken to her. I've never met her. But the guy that runs the show, Chino, and the show's called Chino in the Morning, I've known Chino for like 6-7 years now. And we get along pretty well. We always bullshit. I hung out with him at a club a few times. And I talked to his wife on Facebook. Well, a few years ago, there was another guy that was a co-host on the Chino in the Morning show by the name of Justice. And Justice, a New York guy, was living in Philly. He was the one that was picked to fight Danny Bonaducci. And I had offered to train Justice for that fight. And he had already signed with Joey Benalvez, who I also know out of Philadelphia, former pro fighter who runs like a boxing studio gym, Dan Emanuel, and he's already signed to train with Joey. But I had offered to train Justice for that fight, which had been kind of cool. But that was not my only involvement. And then the other time, there was a guy on there that was like, he was a Dallas Cowboys fan, like right after they beat the Eagles a couple of years ago, and he challenged any Eagles fan out there to come box him. Well, I emailed the promoter, Damon Feldman, who I don't deal with very often, but I emailed Damon, and I said, does this challenge include people with experience? I said, because I'll accept it right now. And he's like, no, Tony, because Damon knows me. I mean, Damon knew me back, you know, when I was still fighting amateur, because he knew my trainer real well. And he's like, yeah, I know who you are. Because I bumped into him at a show one time, and I said, hi to him, because he's like, yeah, I know who you are. And then we started bullshitting. And that's like, you know, when I emailed him, he's like, no, you are not fighting this guy. He's like, cross that out of your mind. Like, damn.
Well, as if it wasn't a shame enough for her to be completely banned from fighting, Feldman, Damon Feldman, your buddy, also claims that his company has been, quote, losing deals because she has been associated with us, unquote. Now, Damon also said she's not even welcome to sit in the audience for fights. Step further. So she definitely is on the outs with celebrity boxing. And actually, it was reported earlier this week that she's so desperate for money now that she set up a website begging for cash to help pay for a new home. And I love how, you know, usually in those stories, you know, they'll talk about the website, but for her, they don't even mention what the website is called, where you can find it. You have to find it on your own.
I wonder how they would keep her out of the audience. If she'd be in a disguise, I wonder how that would work. You know, she's not even welcome in the audience. Boy, yes.
Well, you know, then she brings all 14 kids, and then all of this hell to pay.
Oh, and then
14 tickets.
Yeah, and then in other gossip, since we're on that kick, I guess. Apparently, Matt Mitrione, the meathead, says he'd love to welcome John Jones up to the heavyweight division.
Oh, really?
He says he has a lot of respect.
Right.
He says he has a lot of respect for him as a fighter, but he's, what did he say, he's kind of a douche or something like that. Kind of douchey as a person, and he really kind of went off on him. And then Tito Ortiz had quite a lot to say about Jones, too, because I guess Tito was defending him, and then Jones was saying, well, don't blame me for this. I'm not like Tito. I'm not going to complain about money and complain about all this other stuff. So I just, now they have a feud going. So as the cage turns, huh?
Right. Well, I also saw a story this week. I didn't read the whole thing, but I know I meant to talk about it. I meant to bring it up, but it's not right in front of me. The gist of it was, though, that Jones came out in a very candid interview and talked about the whole UFC 150 cancellation once again. And there was a quote in there, something to the effect of, you know, he felt like he was treated like a piece of meat over the whole thing. So, you know, that was kind of interesting. And you know, the UFC is really kind of in a downward spiral lately. You know, obviously they're not hurting for cash financially or anything. But it does seem like it's more bad news every day, you know, than good. For some reason, it's just like when it rains, it pours lately for this whole organization. And, you know, it just kind of makes me wonder what to expect on the Ultimate Fighter is going to be starting another season pretty shortly here. A couple weeks, I think. The 14th of, actually, it might be this next week. September 14th is their debut show. And then on that, you've got Roy Nelson. And from what I hear, Roy Nelson in the taping is already pissing Dana White off to no end because he's willing to go out there and say what's on his mind. And he's one of those guys, he knows his popularity is that high that even if he loses a fight or two, he's going to be kept around. So it's been interesting to watch some of the commentary that Dana White has had about him over the years. But, you know, he definitely took every opportunity to shove it in their face when Dana White and the Fertittas tried to kind of talk him down from that attitude and that mentality. And, you know, he pretty much, after his last win, jumped up on the top of the cage and almost gave him the middle finger. But everybody loves a guy that looks like that and can fight. And at first, when he first came into the UFC after the
Open... Hi, you've reached us. We're not at home right now. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and we'll return your call.
All right. Well, looks like that's not happening right now. Let's see if we can check to see if we have any new emails asking us what the hell is going on. Why haven't you called?
Rayhead. Oh, boy.
Hey, Rick, have you been on Facebook the last few days?
Now and then. Not much.
You get a chance. And Tom, you too. Or go to my YouTube page, youtube.com, Tornado CP. I was up to my usual no good the other day, and I used some of my video editing abilities, made a slideshow video of my friend's bachelor party this past weekend, and the highlight is all of us hanging out with a midget dressed as a cowboy who was dancing on the bar at a Wild Wild West casino. I did the video, and I set it to the song from the credits from The Hangover. I was feeling right till about yesterday. It was a good party.
Yeah, I actually have to plan a bachelor party for a kid I knew from high school, and we were in junior ROTC together. He's the drill team commander. But anyway, he's getting married next Saturday, the 15th.
So you better get the hell up on it, then.
He doesn't want anything flashy. He doesn't have a lot of money, so he doesn't want to go from strip club to strip club or anything. I think he wants it G-rated, so probably the wife's involved. Future wife. So I think we're gonna do something in Boston.
My son, he's kind of like, not bashful, but when we were growing up as kids, he was always, always kind of bashful and everything. But he's like, I don't want to be pulled on stage anywhere because I don't want to be tied up or anything. And we were originally going to go to Vegas, reality set in and nobody has the money for Vegas. Nobody really has the time for Vegas. So I turned around and we were hanging out a few months ago and I said, guys, come on, let's not be stupid here. The wedding's in October. We're already in June. I said, there's no time to book Vegas. Well, I went to the room. I said, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What would be fun for you? And the one thing you mentioned was New Orleans. Well, thank God I didn't book that. It would be under 20 feet of water. So I said, anywhere that a plane is involved, reality right now. And we were talking one night and we were talking about something. And we talked about a deep sea fishing trip. Hey, that sounds like fun. And then we talked about one at Atlantic City Casino. Well, that sounds like fun. And the one local cover band that I happen to be friends with, they haven't played locally. They've been playing down the shore the whole summer. And I said, man, I did play on the shore the whole summer. He goes, oh, where? That'd be cool if we could catch them, too. So I said, well, shit, here's what we're going to do. Saturday morning, we're going to leave at like 4 a.m. We're going to catch a boat for a few hours. Then we're going to shuttle down. We're going to stay at the Trump Plaza all night. And then Sunday, when we wake up from our hangover, we're going to jump in the car. We're going to shuttle down the coast some more, go to Sea Isle. And the band that we like, they're playing at a club on the beach that has a hotel. And I got us two rooms in the hotel. So we're doing that. And just by coincidence, on our way to the club that afternoon, we stopped at a place for lunch. It was a big Halloween store. We're all Halloween nuts. So basically what you saw was 5 30-year-olds and 1 40-year-old in the store running around putting different masks on like children. Then the one guy is dressing up as Supergirl. So we just basically just took all the photos and we put it into a slideshow. I set it to music and on YouTube it lives.
Well, I'll have to check that out, for sure.
Oh, and then also, I did see a T-shirt with the Nike symbol on there, and it said, John Jones, just duck it. And it was on eBay. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, but I don't think you're allowed to use a corporate symbol.
Well,
like
I'll tell you. I'll tell you the rules on that. I know for a fact because I've been charged myself with some copyright issues. But basically, it has to be confusingly similar. In order to have them be able to sue over it. And the other thing is parody is protected. So that's why, you know, when a political figure gets satirized, even if it's really mean, you know, if it's supposed to be funny, they get away with it.
Oh,
no matter
okay.
what. And the landmark case for that, believe it or not, is Larry Flint versus the preacher there, Jerry Falwell.
Falwell, Jerry Falwell, yes.
They put a cartoon in Penthouse with Jerry Falwell's mother in an outhouse, and they said that's where Jerry Falwell was born, I guess, I think. I don't know, something to do with that. His mother in an outhouse. And,
okay.
So they took him to court. Falwell took him to court, and it was went all the way up to the Supreme Court at one point. But Larry Flint threw a lot of money behind it, and he won. And they basically concluded that, you know, you can't tie up all these legal issues into satire, because otherwise people can't make jokes. Basically.
Okay.
So there's the legal lesson of the day, I guess. But yeah, I looked up all that stuff. I had to present my argument against charging me with all that stuff when they just threw a bunch of stuff at the wall against me in the beginning of that Zions case. Anyway, what else we got here? We got some MMA fights here, I guess we could list. Coming up this weekend. We'll give Ray one more shot before we conclude the show tonight. We got, let's see, it's probably about 9:40. Or 5. So we get 15 at best. Anyway, September, we have Validation, TPF, whatever that's, I guess that's Tachi Palace Fights, I think, number 14, called Validation. That's going to be streaming live on SureDog for fans who want to check that out. We got September 8th, Saturday, Fusion Fighting Championship over in England. New England Fights, Fight Night 4 up in Lewiston, Maine, at the Androscoggin Bank Coliseum. And we got Mongolia Fights tomorrow. So if you're in Inner Mongolia over in China, you can watch Rannick Ultimate Fighting Federation 5. RUFF 5. Rough. And we have fights in Brazil. Batetti Combat Caquetá in Brazil on Saturday. And if you're in, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Merseburg, Germany. Fight Night in Merseburg, number 5, is going on over there. And for folks out in California, if you're in Yuba City, California, you can go to UFC Resolution on Saturday. And you might have heard of that movie Blades of Glory. Well, we're going to do something different out in Denver, Colorado. It's called Badges of Glory.
Nice.
Whatever that means. And that's put on by a company called SCL. I don't know what that stands for. Sorry. And if you happen to be in Hawaii, in Honolulu, there's a fight out there on Saturday, too. Destiny MMA Nakoa from the Neil S. Blaisdell Center out there. And this sounds nice. Football and fights. Right to the point. Put on by Disorderly Conduct out of Norfolk, Nebraska on Saturday. That's at the Divots Conference Center, like Golf Divots. That's funny. It must be named after somebody named Divots. And if you're out in Snoqualmie, Washington, you can go to the Snoqualmie Casino Ballroom for Rumble on the Ridge 25 on Saturday. And then we got to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, if you want to go to Jackson's MMA Series 9. I assume that has something to do with Greg Jackson's camp out there. And finally on Saturday we have Blood Feud from Sugar Creek Casino in Hinton, Oklahoma. And there will be no guns. I know that, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys were on, but, you know, we don't want to imitate art. It's not a real blade. But that's it for upcoming MMA fights. Let's try to connect with Ray one more time.
And I'll be right back, okay?
Sure. And, of course, the big fight coming up next for UFC is UFC 152, Jones versus Belfort. I really don't I don't understand why they even made that fight. Obviously, they were scrambling to get Jones a replacement, but I just don't see why they wouldn't just wait for the right opportunity to give a better person a shot at it. Belfort just hasn't impressed me those last few fights.
Well, I guess I'll have to play devil's advocate with you there. He has won, I believe, 8 out of his last 9 or 7 out of his last 8. His only loss was to Silva. And supposedly he's looked pretty good in training, and I did catch a picture of him, and he looks fabulous. So if the old Vitor shows up, we may have a fight. I'm saying yes. Yeah.
So are you going to bet on him?
No.
Is that confident that you would bet on him?
No. I said I was playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, so that card's coming up in a couple weeks. It seems like forever because of that one cancellation that we've even seen UFC. But that's another thing that might be hurting them too, is the fact that they've upped the schedule so much to the point where it's been almost a fight a week. Sometimes 3 fights a month has been very rare in past months. So I think they got more time to fight per year.
And I hate to get on this money thing again, but maybe if the greed factor is a result of all these events, maybe that'll be ricocheting too, with so many people being hurt so often. You know, it still may just go back to money.
It always does. Let's give Ray Mercer one last shot to answer the phone. Minutes for Skype to load the number in. Let's go, Mercer. Can you hear me still, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I got to check. There's dead air. But, yeah, the UFC is definitely having a lot of waves of bad news lately. It's going to be interesting to see how they...
Exactly. It just seems like if it's not one thing, it's something else. And, you know, sometimes you get that momentum, and it's going to take something good to turn it around. So we'll have to hope that... And I don't see it on the 22nd, so let's hope that the week afterwards, the card over in England will... be rocking.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it's win or lose, it doesn't matter. Anderson Silva wants to fight George St. Pierre whether Condit beats him or not. So that's kind of it.
Now, I believe George had that surgery. George had that surgery in December.
He's be ready to fight on October 13th.
I believe George St. Pierre had his knee surgery in December.
I'm not sure exactly when.
Yeah, because normally it's about a year. And like you said, maybe this is, I mean, we'll find out. If anyone can come back from it quicker than normal, it would be St. Pierre. But normally I think that's, like I know in the major sports, they like it to be about a year before they bring him back full time. And I like with the Chicago Bulls with Derrick Rose going down. I think they have him. He's not scheduled for, well, you know, it could be almost a year before he's back. So I'm wondering if GSP's pushing this a little too quick. And really, he's not in a position to take tune-up fights. So, well, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, Yeah, Carlos Condit is his tune-up fight.
Yeah.
For Anderson Silva. Go figure.
Not exactly a cheap date.
No.
And Condit, you know, Condit has that lateral movement style that can give anyone trouble. So this is really going to be quite a test for George. So
we'll see.
Oh, and then there was
going on this week. Go ahead.
Then there was another thing that came up where Dana was being interviewed about this crazy question of Lesnar and Fedor again. And I think Dana said that he put it out on the Underground kind of as a, I don't know if it was a joke, it was more like an open-ended question, but apparently then everyone was asking, well, can you make that fight? And he says, would you guys really want it? And there was still the interest there, but it's like Dana was trying to impress upon people that he couldn't get Fedor in the UFC when Fedor was active. And now he's retired, so he's trying to squelch the possibility of this rumor, I think. But it does seem to still have life to it. I don't know what to say. It's just I guess this is that kind of down slow time, you know, in the UFC, and since we don't really have much else to focus on, we'll get into fantasy fights, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Spike, by the way. Spike,
I
guess...
I'm talking about something else but the UFC's problem.
Yeah, and Spike still has the rights to some of those old Unleashed, and they're going to be showing a Roy Nelson fight the first night of the Ultimate Fighter when Nelson will be coaching. So you can watch him fight in a rematch or in a rerun, or you can watch him coach. So...
Okay, so we lost Tom in the middle of talking something about Spike. Hopefully we'll catch him before the show ends here. About, looks like 6 minutes we got left. Ray is not answering, so once again, we will have to reschedule, which is good because next week we don't have a guest yet. So, sorry for the fans that were tuning in to hear Ray, but as it happens, we get wrong numbers, we get no answers sometimes. We trust the people who give us information to be right with it. Hopefully this is not a situation where we got the wrong number again. But what can you do? It's just what they say, what they used to say at Norwich, suck it up and drive on.
So we had no luck with Ray, huh?
No. What were you saying about Spike? We lost.
Oh, it was interesting because they apparently still have the rights for the UFC Unleashed, and they're going to be showing a rerun of Nelson directly opposed to the first Ultimate Fighter show. So we'll have a choice. We can watch Nelson in a rerun, or we can watch him coaching against Shane Carwin. So...
Yeah, they did like that for the last season of it, too, because there was something about Kimbo Slice. They brought him into studio at Spike, and they were showing old reruns of the old Ultimate Fighter show on there. And that was like a really bitter dispute over them going to Fox instead of coming back to Spike. And
yeah.
Spike realized that, they got one more year to hold on to that demographic. And, turned out after Viacom bought into Bellator that they all of a sudden came up with a reality show and they got big plans for Spike next year. And, you know, they obviously probably weren't ready to do it this year. And even if they were, they don't want to put it up against the UFC. They think the UFC
sure.
product is better for right now. And I think that that Spike demographic is really going to put them through the roof next year, though, if it really pays off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's our 90-second warning. We're going to definitely try to get Ray on for Tuesday if possible, figure out what went wrong there. And sorry we didn't get to the fantasy football deal. I guess there was a game last night. I didn't even see it. I've been processing wood all week for my business, so didn't see any of it. So, till next week, next Tuesday night, folks, we'll be back at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a special edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. I want to thank our sponsors, Millifidel.com, DrinkCocaine.com, and adios. See you later.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fights.
Bye.